Hello and welcome to episode 38 of the Tent Talks podcast. Joining me now is a member of an international scouting organisation across the English Channel from me over in France. I'll let him introduce himself in a minute. But what did he do? He travelled with a few of his friends all the way to the World Scout Jamboree in South Korea. But how? I'll let him tell you in just a minute. Hello or bonjour.
Hello, Joe. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm very good. I'm very good. Thank you for receiving me in your podcast.
Oh, it's a pleasure. So tell me, how did you get to South Korea?
So I'm a member of a team of three scout leaders, and we went to the World Scout Jamboree in Korea by bicycle, and sometimes a boat, and so. Sea, like Black Sea and Caspian Sea, and we wanted to go in an ecological and sporty way, and so we needed 7 months to do that. We made around 10,000 miles by bicycle, 15,600 kilometers, and it was a great adventure to go to the World Scout Jamboree.
So is that 15,000 kilometers you said?
Yes. Exactly.
So that's 15 with three zeros on the end.
Yeah, exactly. 15,000.
That is quite a long way. And how long did you say it took you?
7 months. So we started on the 3rd of January near Paris. We started from a small city, small village, east of Paris, which is named Moisson. It's the place where the Jamboree took place in 1947. It was the only jamboree which took place in France. It was the first jamboree after the World War II. And for us, it was a symbol to start from this place to go to the World Scout Jamboree 2023. So we started in the beginning of the winter because, when you want to go to jamboree to be in August in South Korea, you have to plan your trip, and for us it was like when you climb. For example, if you want to be at the top of the mountain, at the top of the hill at noon, because you need to come back, you have to start for sometime in the middle of the night. And for us, it was almost the same. We needed to start at the in the winter in the beginning of January. So it was more or less, 11 months ago, we started, and we came to the Jamboree by bicycle.
So yes, that is quite the way to cycle. You mentioned boats, so tell me more a little bit about when you use boats and why.
So yeah, we wanted to go by land and sea to the World Scout Jamboree to show it's possible and to, have the challenge complete. So we used some boat on the Black Sea. We rode from Paris to the coast of Bulgaria, and we took a boat in the Black Sea to go from Bulgaria to Georgia, and after we crossed the Caucasus and Georgia and then Azerbaijan, we had some issue to solve to enter Azerbaijan. Yeah, I can tell you. And then we took a boat on the Caspian Sea to arrive in Kazakhstan. And the next step, we wanted to take a boat from China to South Korea because it's not possible to cross North Korea by bicycle and to enter in South Korea from North Korea. So we needed to go across Yellow Sea, 500 kilometers. We wanted to take a boat at the end of the trip, one night boat, 500 kilometers, something like this. But it was not possible because of some relation between China and South Korea. So boats were only available for treks and not for passengers. So we needed to take a small plane in this part to go across Yellow Sea.
So when you get there, what was it like as sort of your sense of achievement having traveled 7 months? And also, did you arrive on time or ahead or behind the schedule you'd planned?
No, yeah, good question. We arrived on time. So, as I say sometimes, we arrived on time. We arrived more or less by the way we wanted, by land and by sea. We were three at the end of the trip, and the team was complete because it was a long trip, a big adventure. So sometimes it was tough. Sometimes we had some tension, but at the end we were on time and still the same team. When we were in Mongolia, more or less, we could see how many days we need to be on the coast of China. So we were confident at this time to be on time. And we could make a side trip, for example, to see the end of the Great Wall of China. So we were on time. The big things to solve were to cross the Caucasus and to go from Kazakhstan to Mongolia. So this part, yes, we were more uncertain. But after that, we were confident, and we knew that we could be on time to the jamboree.
And so along your route, did you take any, I assume you took some breaks, but did you sort of explore along the way? Did you meet anyone?
We met a lot of people during our trip, and a lot of people of the Scout movement. We were hosted, we were helped by the Scout movement. We wanted to live this great adventure to show it's possible. And so we started in winter, as I said. We crossed France, Germany, Austria, a bit of Slovakia, and then Hungary, Serbia, Romania, and Bulgaria. And at this time, it was winter. It was sometimes really cold. For example, yes, we were on a snowy path, snowy road in Austria and in Romania also. And we were hosted by a lot of scout groups on the road. So we contacted them before. And they hosted us during all the way. So during winter, we didn't sleep under the tents. It was good because it was cold. And it was, it was good for us. Really, really cold and sometimes snowy and rainy. And it was really good for us, to keep good health and to be in a good shape to go forward. And yes, we met a lot of young scouts, a lot of kids each evening. So we were hosted. So we were presenting our project, our trip, what we wanted to do, the road we chose, how we wanted to do that. And they were really interested, and they were thinking maybe that, yeah, maybe I can do that, maybe not for such a big trip, but maybe for my summer camp or something like this. And it was really interesting to promote bike adventure and bike touring by this way. After that, in Georgia and Azerbaijan, we also met a lot of scouts from the different group. And when we arrived in Central Asia, in the Stan countries, so Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, Kyrgyzstan, there was very few scouts. In Uzbekistan, there is not. In Kyrgyzstan, there is a new organization since 1 year or 2 years, something like this. And in Kazakhstan, there is 1,000 scouts, I think, more in the north of the country. So we didn't meet a lot of scouts in these countries. We were more on our own. It's more desertic countries. So we were free to set our tent each night where we wanted. And in Mongolia, we met again some scouts. The organization of scouts in Mongolia is good, is strong. And at the end, we were not expecting that. We thought that in China, Democratic Republic of China, there is no scouts, but we met them surprisingly, they found us on the socials when we were close to Korea, and they contacted us, and we were really happy to meet them in China. It's a really young association, 2-3 years old association. Yes, it was a really good meeting.
So while you were out in the Jamboree, obviously I've heard the UK people's experience of what happened with the heat and everything. But I just want to know sort of what was your experience of the Jamboree while you were out there?
Yeah, the Jamboree was a little bit strange, special, compared maybe with other Jamborees. So for us, it was a good experience. Because you know we were on the road during 7 months, so we were used to bad condition, to heavy rain, or to hit hot weather. So it was not a problem for us. But yes, there was some things to improve in the organization of the Jamboree, and yes, we understood the reaction of everybody on the Jamboree. For us, it was an achievement, you know, to arrive in the Jamboree and to share with people what we did. The experience was good for that, because when we arrived on August the 2nd at the Jamboree, we were at the door of the Jamboree, and a lot of people we met during the trip were there to welcome us. A lot of people of the World Organization, of the World Scout Committee, were here to welcome us. After that, we made the first conference in the SDG Village, which is a space about the SDG Sustainable Development Goal. So it was a good sharing moment. In the afternoon, we met Bear Grylls, the ambassador of scouting, in the UK Association, if I remember well. He said us, congratulations, guys. It's a big achievement. So when a guy, a great adventurer like Bear Grylls, tell you that you're a good adventurer, it's good for us. And brings it down.
And he's definitely right. It is a great adventure in it, and quite the way to go by bike.
Yeah, maybe he could have ridden with us for a time. And after that, we shared our adventure. We had some pictures. We had a big map of our trip. And we spoke with a lot of scouts, a lot of kids, and we were speaking about how they can do that maybe for the next Roverway, which is next summer in Norway, the next Rovermoot, which is in 2025 in Portugal, and the next World Scout Jamboree, which is in Poland in 2027. And it's what we want to do right now. We don't, for us, going to Poland, you know, in 4 years, it's not a big deal. But we really want that some units, some scout units, do that. Go by train, by bicycle, by sailing, maybe to the next World Scout Jamboree. Seize the opportunity of the travel to live big adventure. It's what we did, and it's what we want to promote right now.
Yeah, absolutely. So did you do it just off the back of wanting to do it, or was it for charity, or sort of where did the inspiration come from?
So the inspiration, I think, come from adventure. I traveled during 1 year south of Asia some years ago. I like this kind of big travel, you know, when you can really feel the atmosphere of the country because you are on bicycle, you need to speak a little bit of the language of the country. And actually, in the history of the Jamboree, at the first during the for the first jamborees in 1924, something like this, before World War II, for example, or in the 50s, in the 60s, it was a big deal sometimes to come to the jamboree. Sometimes, you know, you needed to cross the world with boats during several weeks. If you are Australian, if you want to go to your United Kingdom, or if you are American and you want to come to Europe. So it was a kind of exploration. And plane transportation is more easy, more common, maybe we didn't seize the opportunity to live big adventure, and we wanted to show that it's possible, that can be really interesting to do that, because for example for us it was a challenge. We crossed the Caucasus, we crossed Europe in winter. We were on the old Silk Road, which is mythical road, really inspiring road with Marco Polo and all the history of this part of the world. And we wanted to show that and give taste of adventure. And one other thing we did is that we were associated with another NGO, we were a partner with another NGO, which is named Imagine for Margot. It's a French NGO who make fundraising for fighting against kids' cancer. And we wanted to do that because in our troop, we had a kid, Matisse, which was a really good friend, and he died from cancer at 16 years old. So, you know, in every scout camp, in every scout adventure, you need to have also a good turn, a good action. And we wanted to be associated, to be partner with another NGO. And by this way, yes, we raised, I think, 6,000 euros for this NGO. So it was, it was pretty good.
So 5,000 euros. So that, for our British listeners, that's about £43,000, which is an extraordinary amount of money to raise for such an amazing charity.
Yeah, it was really good. And, in the memory of Matisse, which was one of our friends, he died of cancer during the lockdown in 2020, and we wanted to do that in his memory, and to share this with his family. It was really important for us.
So I've just got one final question now to ask, and that is the question that I think everyone wants to know the answer to. Did you get a plane back?
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people ask us this question. Yes, we took a plane back, but the question is good, and I will tell you that if I have had more time, okay, I would have complete, the world tour. Sometimes people say when we were in Korea, they said, so you come back by bicycle, you go west this time. And I was saying, no, of course not, because right now we cross half of the world to be here, okay? From Europe, from France to Korea. So if I would have more time, I would continue east, okay? So I would cross on a cargo or on a boat, North Pacific Ocean. I would arrive in Vancouver or San Francisco. I would cross United States or Canada. I calculated that. I was thinking, it's 4,600 kilometers. I need 2 months on the half to do that. And then I can cross Atlantic Ocean on a boat, on a cargo, and make a complete world tour. But I would like to do that, but I didn't have time. I needed to go back to work. So I just made the first part.
I'm sure work were missing you after 7 months.
Yeah. I needed I need I needed a yes for 4 months more. So we didn't do that. So yes, we came back to the to France by plane. And maybe yes, next time we will try to do the two parts, you know, in a long way by train or by bicycle or by everything else.
Well, thank you very much for talking to me, and congratulations on completing your 15,000 kilometer, 10,000 mile journey. I'll give you the best of luck in getting to the next World Scout Jamboree in such an amazing fashion.
Yeah, and for the on right now, yes, we as I said, we are working on the sequence of the project. So you can follow us maybe on our socials to have some news. So the sequence to promote by touring is we are working on a movie, a 52 minutes movie with something we want to show in some traveler festivals in Europe and maybe in some scout events, scout meeting. And we want to write a book also. We would like the book translated in English and published in English. We will try to do that. I think it's really possible. So we will organize maybe screenings in Europe. So if we want to organize that in Manchester, in London, in everywhere in UK, it's possible.
If that happens, can you make sure that one comes to my local cinema? Because I will definitely be watching that.
Yeah, and by this way, yes, we are still available. If you want to organize, if you want advice for organize a bike tour during your summer camp, we are available. We answer to some people about this, and we really want successors, okay? And so don't hesitate if you want to organize this kind of adventure. We are available.
And I assume your fundraiser is still open.
I don't know, but for the big meeting of our NGO is in September, so maybe right now it's closed, but for the next fundraising, yes, we will reopen this.
So as soon as that fundraiser does reopen, I will put it in the description of the podcast. So those of you listening in the future, you are more than welcome to donate. As well as that, I will put all of your social media details in the description of the podcast as well. So make sure that you go and give them a follow, because why not? But yeah, thank you so much for joining me this month. It's been a pleasure talking to you, and I will see you in the next one. Thank you so much to Florin for joining me this month on the podcast. And Florin has sent through some additional footage, which is all video footage, so I couldn't really share it actually on the podcast. But if you head down to the description of the podcast, there's a link to a little YouTube video that's unlisted, so only people that have listened to the podcast know it exists. So it's a YouTube video that I've uploaded. It's all their footage, well, some of their footage. I'm sure they had a lot more footage that they have cut it down to, but it's a really good video, and it's definitely worth a watch. It's only like a minute and a half long, so if you've got this far in the podcast, you've probably got time to go and watch that. But as I was saying, thank you so much to Florin for joining me this month on the podcast. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. And now to the listeners, if you've got a story to tell, similar to this or completely different to this, if it's related to scouting, feel free to get in touch. I would love to hear your story, and I would love for you to be on the podcast. All you need to do, and it's really this simple, you've got two options. Either find us on social media and drop us a message. It's really that simple. Or if you don't have social media or you prefer your emails, it's really simple. Just drop us an email, studio@tenttalks.org.uk. And either me or I've got a couple of other admins that are on the email. You should get an email back within a couple of days. Honestly, I absolutely love speaking to people about their experiences. So please, if you've got a story to tell, don't keep it quiet. I would love to interview you on the podcast. Until next time, thank you so much for listening. As I was saying, all of Florin's, Florin and his, I can't remember the other two's name, but all their social media is in the description of the podcast. Please go and give them a follow. Honestly, they deserve it. So please, please, please go and give them a follow. Until next time, goodbye.